Good day. This is Charles Weaver, your host of the MSP Zone. And today we are talking with an MSP executive and operator who's been in the industry for a long time, has a unique distinction of being both an MSP, does a little bit of application development, but also owns his own data center. And that puts him in a fairly elite class of MSPs out there that also do hosting, control their hosting environment and have that as well in lieu of co-location. And I'm talking to none other than John Burgess, president of Mainstream Technologies, an MSP out of Little Rock, Arkansas. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So you're probably the third or fourth MSP that I've talked to on the program, just to gauge a sense of how things are going out there. And I'm getting a pretty consistent kind of feedback and consistent, set of responses to some of these questions. So I'm going to be really interested in this, to hear how yours match with those. Don't worry, not to put too much pressure on you, but just how has Mainstream been doing? How have you guys been doing since this quarantine, and how have your customers been doing?
Well, the Mainstream as a business has been functioning pretty well. We felt like we were, based on some events that had happened in our local area about 10 years ago. We had a big snowstorm that knocked us out of commission for like a week. And at that time, we realized that we weren't prepared to transition to a work, if people were stuck in one place. So over the next 5 years, we kind of made sure that we were able to move to a remote footing if the need came. And sure enough, so we've been on a voluntary work from home basis. It was a month ago on a Sunday. And what we found is that we're still functioning well. We've identified a couple little back office things that could have been smoother, but by and large, our ability to provide service and generate revenue, transition seamlessly with no impact. On our customer side, however, our customers by and large are doing well. They're all weathering the storm as well as can be expected. We do have a couple of customers that either deal directly with consumers or are in a retail space, and they've been hit especially hard. I've compared this. I've been trying to find analogies to this, and I've compared it to the Great Recession of 2009. And what we find is that we as the MSP enjoy an elevated position with our customers with regard to their priorities as far as spending or maintaining relationships. The difference has been that whereas the Great Recession, from the retail standpoint, was a slowdown, it was a hit. But several of our retail customers are just shut down completely, and that's put a little different spin on it, but by and large, our customers are doing well.
Yeah, well, that's good to. I think you're in the same boat as a lot of MSPs, where you've got assuming you have a good cross section of clients in different sectors, right? Some are doing better than others. Some have been unchanged. Some have actually increased, business. I mean, if I've heard, just sat in on a financial analyst briefing a little while ago today, and they said, biotech, e-commerce, IT services, our sector, are all projected to do very well in short term and long term as a result of COVID-19. I don't like to overgeneralize too much, but I mean, has the relationship with your clients being the trusted advisor that, Mainstream is to its customer base, those customers that are shut down aside, are they talking about the recovery? Are they talking about what's coming next and including you in those types of discussions, assuming, as I hope they are, that they think that this is going to end one day, hopefully soon?
Well, we've seen, initially when the whole thing hit, everybody just kind of hunkered down and kind of went into, everybody was kind of shocked, and it kind of suspended a lot of conversations. But over the last week or so, we've definitely started you know, people have started looking toward what comes next. You know, people are reacting to lessons learned from how this, you know, caught them not in quite the way that they'd anticipated. Maybe they had some sort of response plan to something like this, but having never been through it, you know, there's obviously some lessons learned there. We have customers that have opportunities, you know, that they see opportunities on as the economy starts to open back up. So, you know, we've definitely been involved in those. We have a high concentration of government, state government clients, you know, and that's been kind of a mixed bag. The ones, you know, we're seeing opportunities in those spaces where if it has to do with human services or with unemployment, you know, those systems have been greatly taxed, and we're seeing opportunities to jump in and help throw in extra, you know, develop extra capacity, improve performance of those types of systems. But then kind of the less essential or less relevant areas of the government, you know, relevant to what's going on right now, you know, some of those are talking about, you know, kind of budget hits. So that's kind of been a mixed bag, but by and large, it's all been positive. And yes, we are involved in conversations about where customers are starting to think what's next and either how can I use this to leverage, or how am I going to respond to what happened and make sure it doesn't happen to me again?
Yeah. I guess my question, you know, I would ask you is it an overgeneralization to say that we in the managed services profession we've largely been immune to previous economic crises, right? 2009, we had some sectors, financial sectors, and, you know, MSPs around London took a hard hit. We had some sectors in post 9/11, post .com, Y2K period there, where we had some hits. But largely, we've been, if not recession proof, we've been fairly resilient. Do you feel? Is there any reason why you would think that this period isn't going to be different from those previous periods?
I don't. In fact, I see it's even a little better than it was in 2009. We saw at Mainstream during that incident, we saw some of our smaller competitors, you know, didn't have the mass, the critical mass to weather it, and they went out of business. And we attracted new customers as customers were looking, okay, how can I right size my IT spending? And especially with smaller businesses that are looking at how do I do something for less than the cost of an FTE? We picked up smaller customers there. But you know, what we used to say, you know, 15, 20 years ago was, man, we wanted to be in the position where we were like the electric company, where, you know, if they weren't writing any other checks, they were paying the electric company because they had to keep the lights on. And I think what we saw in 2009 is we saw some of that happening. And I think today, you know, we're even, you know, so many businesses rely on technology. And if they didn't realize it before this happened, they certainly realize it now. And I think us in the MSP industry, you know, being those trusted advisors and being the watchdogs for our customers' environments, that we have been elevated to that position where, If we're not ahead of the electric company, then we're right there with them.
Well, I mean, you're really talking about what an MSP like Mainstream touches, right? With for most of the customers across the board, are you've got a sudden surge in remote users, right? So that brings up not only just accessibility, functionality, right? Are the tools, the technologies working for our sudden shift of, you know, office residing in staff to at home working staff? You've now seen a huge spike in cybersecurity, you know, threats, scams. The attack vector for remote workers has shot through the roof. So that I would say that that's probably a secondary. And then the third area is e-commerce, right? Just the traditional, take your average restaurant, shut down, unable to service customers in their restaurant, now having to do curbside takeout, having to do things that rely on technology more. Those seem to all indicate fairly positive things for the generic managed service provider community.
Oh yeah. I mean, there are going to be companies looking to deploy new technologies or technologies that they've discovered. Maybe they've, you know, feels like, you know, this caught a lot of people flat footed. And you were talking about the cybersecurity aspect of it. And, you know, the first reaction is everybody had to go home. So we completely shredded our security perimeters. You know, those businesses that their strategy was still based on having all the eggs inside the lockbox. You know, you sent all the eggs out into the world, punched all these holes in your firewall. You have all these, you know, you're running in these untrusted environments. And that was what businesses had to do to survive initially. But now, again, as people start to look toward the future, they're starting to think about, okay, well, if this is maybe going to be a new normal, because some of this, you know, there has been a positive out of this, that some of this working from home stuff has proven itself to be more accessible and viable than maybe a lot of people thought. But companies are starting to think about, okay, as we try this out, we want to make sure that we do it securely, and that we're not unduly exposing ourselves by transitioning to this new mode of operations.
Yeah, I certainly have heard a lot of that about reimagining, rethinking workplace environments, work from home scenarios as becoming a new normal. And I think that could be a positive for a lot of organizations who weren't already there. John, I'd like to get your opinion and thoughts on just the economic issue of organizations of all sectors laying off, furloughing IT people of a variety of different, you know, classifications, right? Could be IT executives, probably less vulnerable, but maybe lower level tier one, tier two types of technicians within organizations being let go or laid off. Is this going to be an opportunity for managed service providers now and when the recovery happens, when they say, do we really need that internal IT person? Can we just rely on the MSP? Your thoughts?
I think, I think that's what's going to be very similar to 2009, is that's what happened then. As companies were looking to right size and downsize some of their spending to adjust to top line shrinkage, you know, the IT staff took a hit, and the MSPs, you know, made the case that we were a viable alternative, that we were to on-site, you know, in-house staff. So I think that's going to happen again. Remains to be seen how quickly everybody bounces back. Because I could easily see a lot of these people that have been furloughed getting quickly rehired. You know, if the recovery is that V or U shaped that people have talked about. I also see that, you know, there are people that are furloughed at this, and it's rather than a normal where it might be the lower performers or the less experienced staff, this is a more broad reaching incident than what happened 11 years ago. So there are people that are going to be on the market that, you know, we as MSPs, if we have been talent constrained for our growth, then I think there's going to be a lot of good candidates on the market that are on the market just because of the depth and breadth of what happened just now.
So you think that the furloughing, the shedding of jobs from different sectors, not just tech, right? Because there could be a lot of service, sales, finance, a lot of people of different skill sets suddenly without a job could get hired by and within the managed services professional sector. Do you think that would happen just after the recovery kind of hits full swing?
I think so. And again, I think that's going to, you know, whatever the waveform of the recovery assumes, you look at the retail sector, you know, you have companies there that a large retailer that shuttered all of its stores, you know, they've cut their headcount by like 90%. And normally if you're doing a normal reorg or a normal kind of trimming, exercise, you're going to trim 10%. So they have cut very deeply into their benches. And there's some great people out there. And depending on their ability to restart and get up to speed, there are going to be some of these very qualified people on the market. And I think to the extent that the MSPs can seize this opportunity to increase the market share compared to in-house, you know, staffs, then, you know, there's going to be those candidates out there that we're going to be looking for.
And it could be that if the MSPs are ready to hire, which I think may have been your unspoken point, that if MSPs are hiring sooner than maybe a retailer who laid off 90% of their workforce, they may not be ready to rehire all 90% back. So there could be a windfall to the MSPs to grab some good talent sooner. It sounds like.
Yeah, it could be. I can see it being a kind of a one-time shift of some of that talent, you know, that talent being available like it hasn't been in maybe ever, and like it may not be for some time again.
Well, we certainly have seen a spike in managed services staffing, right? Just the cost of MSPs hiring technicians, people more in the technical cybersecurity, certainly, you know, 3.5 million cybersecurity jobs projected to be unfilled in 2021. I'd be curious to see if that statistic holds true, but I think this is a great opportunity for MSPs, you know, to kind of shore up and maybe right size and level off some of those salaries, you know, as a result of this. John, I'd like to ask you about your hosting business, which is unlike as I said in the beginning, most MSPs who do not own and control their own data center, Mainstream does have its own facility. Does that give you a little bit of extra protection, stickiness with your customers that, you know, they're not going to just shut off servers, right? Because they can't.
Correct. And what we've seen is that, you know, where that's going to take a project. You know, it's not like you can just turn those off and blink your eyes and spin them up someplace else. It's a project. It's an initiative to move these stacks from one provider to another. And right now, you know, at least so far through this outbreak, companies have not had the appetite for. If they already had projects on the books, that's one thing. If they're trying to upgrade, you know, to stay ahead of some support issues with Windows or Microsoft or something, that's one thing. Or if they already had some strategic initiative planned, but as far as putting new projects on the books, I haven't seen a lot of appetite for that. So the data center and the hosting part of our business, has not been impacted at all. And I would say, like you mentioned, has positively contributed to the stickiness with our customers.
So one last question related to security, which is, you know, it seems like it would be reasonable to say that organizations are first and foremost concerned about keeping their teams safe as they work remotely, keeping their customers stable and secure. But the internal organizations may not be first thinking about security, privacy, and the threats that are facing them and that are literally targeting them every single day. A, do you agree with that? And B, is at some point they're going to have to pay attention, right? At some point we're going to realize we've got an equally dangerous threat out there called cybersecurity.
Yeah, and I think, like I said earlier, you know, what we saw is that, okay, some companies were caught flat-footed, so they dispersed all their workforce out, and they were just doing whatever they could think of to get people connected and working and productive again. But then they've also seen that the bad guys also observed what was happening and have really tuned their game to focusing on these weak spots that we voluntarily created by sending everybody out home. You know, there's spoofing and phishing attacks are going through the roof, and they're also very tailored to the outbreak. And also they're preying on, you know, we've sent these people out and remotely, we're asking them, you know, to use new technologies that they haven't, new connective technologies, new collaboration technologies that they haven't used before. new ways to connect to the network than they've used. You know, if they're at home, they're following a completely different path than they were in the office. And the bad guys know this too. And they're, you know, they're preying on people's uncertainties and their unfamiliarity with their environments. So, people working from home, you know, they don't know what pop-ups or what notifications they're expecting to get their work done in this new environment. And the bad guys are taking advantage of it. So what we've seen now is that, you know, that initial response is, oh my gosh, we have to get everybody out and working. And now that's evolving into, okay, well, how do we batten the hatches and how do we lock the doors on this to make sure that, as this extends, that we're being as secure as we can, with the goal being that we're being as secure as we are in the office.
Yeah. I think these are incredibly important issues to remain vigilant in tackling and addressing. Last question before I let you go, John, and I'm not holding you to it, but it feels like we've turned the corner, right? The discussions now are moving towards reopening different economies, state economies, federal economies, globally, right? Different countries around the globe are responding. You know, some of them are opening already. What's your thought about the next month or two? And do you have any guesstimate of what you think is going to happen?
Here locally in Arkansas, you know, our governor is one of the few in the country that never issued a shelter in place order. So we've certainly been voluntarily, everyone's been socially distanced by this, but I think you're going to see patches start to, because people just can't, I think everybody's getting to the point where they just can't stand to be shut down any longer before things become, you know, certain things would become irreversible. And I think that's obviously happened to some businesses already, primarily like the restaurant and the hospitality industry. But I think that, you know, you're kind of balancing these two curves between people's need to be safe and their need to survive from an economic standpoint. I think the news about we hear reports about the cases and how fast it's spreading and the acceleration or deceleration of the curve. I see some light at the end of the tunnel. I can see in 2 weeks that there will be more activity going on than there is today. I don't think it's going to be a turn the switch and everybody's back to work. But I can definitely see that there just seems to be a growing appetite to maybe stretch our wings and kind of get back into the flow of things. And I think people by and large get the seriousness of the situation. And I think people have learned the lesson and will be safe. But I think, you know, I think a lot of people are going to figure out how they can be safe and get some more work done at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty spot on analysis. I sense it. Maybe it's wishful thinking, but I sense that people are ready to go back. And it may not be all at once, but I think it's going to be a gradual start. And, you know, it just takes that first little push and momentum, and it'll gain steam. It'll gain momentum and continue and build and build from there. But really appreciate your insights and you spending your time with us and sharing your thoughts. Much appreciated, John.
Well, thank you for having me, and everybody stay safe out there.
Well, that's been another episode of the MSP Zone. Appreciate John Burgess from Mainstream Technologies sharing his opinions and thoughts. And we will see you all next on the MSP Zone.